ring if you're ready to care. Oh, let's talk power, let's talk speed. Hosted by the one and only We2Deep. Turn it up loud, feel the power in your seat. This is Slapping Meat. Yes, Slapping Meat.
And what is up, everyone? It is your boy, We2Deep, the one and only We2Deep, with my initial backlash thoughts. As we just finished watching the PLE, and I'm going to go in, you know, not do that much of a breakdown, just my initial thoughts, excuse me, of the show. As a reminder, me, Wavy D, and a special guest will be going over the show in its full, and getting other opinions on Tuesday. But as always with these PLEs, I do like to come on here Saturday or Sunday and give my initial thoughts, because like I always say, my thoughts could change by Tuesday, right? And so I want to give my initial thoughts of the show now, and then we can discuss what changed, you know, in the near future. So let's start this off with the Fatal 4-Way, as they did. I thought this was a pretty good match to start. You know, all day I was sitting here thinking about what match was going to start the show, and I was between this one and Dom and Penta, because the opener is supposed to be like the exciting match, right? And this was the one that I was leaning towards starting the show, and it did exactly what it was supposed to do, pump up the crowd a little bit. And you know, the whole purpose of this match was to, one, it's a multi-man, so that you can create the circumstances where you can get the result that you want without needing to have a stipulation to make it no DQ, right? And so with that, you know, I thought every one of the competitors in the match did their thing. I just, McIntyre sort of, you know, it's kind of weird seeing him go for a mid-card title. He should not be in this picture, but it's sort of the result of having Cena be your champion, where you're not going to put McIntyre in the world title picture with a heel champion, right? And so him and Priest continuing their feud, I almost feel like Drew and Priest is almost like a rewrite of Drew and Punk, and they're gonna take it for another 5-6 months, it feels like. But ultimately the story, this, like, so I'm gonna take you guys back to my mentality with Bad Blood, right? B, C tier PLE, right? Not a Mania, not a Money in the Bank, not a SummerSlam, right? Bad Blood's like that B tier, C tier PLE, and I thought that was the PLE of the year, right? And last year, right? And what was my reasoning, right? It wasn't that the matches were five star spectacles. It was that stories were told, and we progressed, the B or C tier PLE progressed to the next event, right? This is exactly what I feel about this PLE. Granted, one match, and we'll talk about that when we get to it. But this match, the story that's supposed to be told is Jacob and Solo. That's the story. And so we get introduced in the WWE universe to Jeff Cobb. You guys who were complaining about the releases, well, why did the releases need to happen the way they did when they did? Well, you're bringing in Jeff Cobb, right? So Jeff Cobb is here, and he's being introduced to a partially a fan base, even some hardcore fans. If they don't watch Japanese wrestling, probably don't know a lot about Jeff Cobb, right? I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm an expert on him. I do know, like, I've seen that he's sort of compared to Taz and Kurt Angle and stuff like that. Not necessarily the best on the mic, but the technical ability is there. He's basically an enforcer, and that's the role he's in right now, right? So he comes in. He's now going to be Solo's new enforcer or Solo's new soldier, right? So this is interesting how this can lead, because I could see this leading to Solo versus Jacob. I could see this Jacob versus Jeff Cobb, and I could see Jeff Cobb versus Solo as potential matches going into the rest of this year. You see Jacob Fatu, you know, the story being like it doesn't feel like he was let in on the plan. I'm ready to see where that heads into as we head in towards Saturday night's main event. It's crazy. Like, you have Backlash tonight. In 2 weeks, you have Saturday night's main event. And then 2 weeks after that, you have Money in the Bank. And so in a six-week period of time, you have two PLEs in a televised special event, and which is basically just another short, another PLE, I would say, right? And so Triple H is doing this, it appears, with the schedule to help him book in like 2 week segments. And he's booking some stories longer. The matches that aren't going to be on one PLE that needs to extend an extra 2 weeks that he can book for a month, right? And that's sort of how he's booking these things, right? And so I'm interested in what is the paradigm going to be within this Bloodline story. And it's a shame that it's on SmackDown, because there's nothing really else on SmackDown worth watching. And so a lot of WWE fans are tuning out of SmackDown because it's not the most entertaining show to watch right now. But this is an interesting dynamic, an interesting plot point in the story. I'm ready to see where this leads. I'm happy with this start, right? So far, you know, it's crazy. Show started at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I got off work at 5:30. As I was clocking out, walking out the door, I said, all right, we're off work. Time to go home to watch what might be the worst pay-per-view of the year. Right? And my mindset coming into this show was, don't expect a lot, because they're not giving us the greatest card here, right? And so, again, when you set your expectations low, right, you can't be upset. And that's why I would rather over-critique a card and set my expectations super low so that I'm proven wrong and the event has actually turned out to be really good. Then I'm happy, right? But if I expect a 10 out of 10 performance and I get an 8 out of 10, then I'm not upset. I don't get what I expected, right? But if my expectation is a 5 out of 10 and I get an 8 out of 10, you've exceeded my expectations. I can leave happy, right? That's how I look at this, right? And so I expected like a 6 out of 10 PLE, right? And I would say if I had to give a number for the whole show, I would give this an 8. I would give this an 8 out of 10, right? And that's being very critical on one match. I think this was pretty close to a 9. Maybe even, if I'm being honest, a 10 out of 10 PLE for what they want it to accomplish, understanding that you have Saturday night's main event in 2 weeks and that some of the bigger show pieces are on that card, right? Great way to start the show. We then transition over into Becky and Lyra. In this match was a little bit difficult to watch at first as they were sort of building the momentum of what was going on. It was a little bit slower, but ultimately very good. I'm confused by the finish, right? And I think WWE, I think what Triple H wanted to do here was, there's a standard trope, and I may have even mentioned it on Friday, yesterday's episode. There's a standard trope with Becky, and maybe even in the prediction show, I may have mentioned it, where you know, Becky Lynch ended Monday night on her back. Lyra went over, right? And so the standard trope under Vince McMahon's booking is if Lyra goes over on the go-home show, Lyra's losing at the PLE or pay-per-view, right? And so that was sort of my mindset going into this match, was that Lyra was going to lose and Becky was going to win, because to me it felt like the only way to really keep this story going was to have Becky win and then the comeback match at SummerSlam where Lyra beats Becky at SummerSlam. I'm not upset with this result. I may be in the minority. I'm not the biggest fan of heel Becky, if I'm being honest. But face Lyra, you know, Becky put over Lyra again, and I appreciate Becky Lynch for that. Mercedes, you could probably learn something about putting wrestlers over. But 100% respect Becky Lynch for that. This was a decent match. Again, it accomplished what it wanted to accomplish. I'm not exactly sure the direction in which this is going to go into, which is fine. I think we're finally starting to get that shine on this title that it needs, which is why I said this feud should have taken place in January, right? Because it would have made this title prestigious almost immediately. I'm not upset with the match. I'm not upset with the result. Very fun way to start the show. We then go to Dom versus Penta. Again, another fun match, right? Dom comes out looking like a cow. Penta comes out looking like a G with his little trucker shirt and all jeweled out and everything. Very good match, right? It was what you expected it to be. Penta is a star, right? I had someone comment on a post I made on social media that WWE holds back performers, and then they use Penta as an example of how Penta is only doing like a third of his move set. And my response to it was, yeah, but he's more over than he's ever been. And people take him seriously in WWE because he can do his Mexican destroyer finisher or move, and it's not going to be no-sold. The destroyer ends matches for Penta, whereas in AEW, the destroyer was just another move to set up another set of high spots that eventually will lead to the end of the match, but it's going to be no-sold, and then it's going to lead to a super kick party, right? And so his moves mean something in WWE, and he's better off where he's at right now, right? He may not be able to do all the cool flippy stuff that he did in AEW, but what he does do is taken more seriously, and it means more. Right. And so I love this match. Dom winning with the El Grande Americano. I did not see this coming whatsoever. I thought maybe Finn gets involved, which Finn did get involved. Right. And Finn really got involved in a way that would have helped Penta win. So Penta goes for the win, and Grande Americano is there with the loaded mask again. And just, bro, what a finish. Something I didn't expect to happen. Dom retains. Fun way to, you know, we're three matches in, and I'm sitting here and I'm like, first off, we're blowing by these matches. We're three matches in and we're only like an hour and 15 minutes into the show, and I'm sitting here like, what are we, like, this pacing is great. And so we get into Pat McAfee and Gunther, right? And this is the one match on the card that I'm going to have to do my rant on, right? And shout out to Kara. I hope you haven't crashed out. I'm about to crash out on this match. Shout out to Kara when you listen to this. I have to ask a question, right? This goes back to Friday's episode when I did my segment on Gunther, right? And I don't know if Goldberg's going to be involved in this. He doesn't show up. Like I said, I didn't expect him to show up tonight. I think maybe a wavy D idea of having him show up on Raw. There's now the next Saturday night main event. So not the one in 2 weeks, but the one after that's going to be announced to be in Atlanta, where Goldberg is from, which makes sense for that match to be put off until then. So maybe we get Goldberg at like a Saudi show at the end of June to announce. Who knows, right? We'll see where we head with this. But Goldberg doesn't show up tonight, which I'm fine with. 100% fine with. But the match itself, right? So this match starts, and I've always said the only I've been saying since they've announced this idea in the match, the only acceptable result for this match would have been Gunther beating the living hell out of Pat, right? I'm not upset with the pacing and that he didn't squash Pat McAfee. Like, I didn't want like a 3 second squash. I did want Gunther to beat the shit out of Pat, right? And there's a good way you could book this, where Pat starts out strong, beats the hell out of Gunther for 30 seconds with some chops, and they started going that direction, but then they let Pat continue to put in offense. And for whatever reason, Triple H has this issue where he doesn't allow baby faces to look weak, right? I'm not concerned with the quote unquote botch of Pat slipping on the ropes. Guys, I'm gonna shout out Raj Giri here on from Twitter. That kind of added to the show. He's not a professional wrestler, right? So he's supposed to slip. He's not trained in this, right? And even when it does happen with the professionals, like every sport, someone slips, someone messes up, right? If there are no botches, if we start to micromanage every match that way, then we start getting these these over choreographed Cirque du Soleil acts, like what you get out of the Young Bucks, right? And so I don't think that hurt the match. In fact, I actually think it added to the segment, because he was going to jump, he trips on the ropes, which causes him to fall. And then Gunther basically turns that into an opportunity to take advantage of Pat McAfee being uber aggressive, right? And so I would have had this match, Pat's uber aggressive at the start, gets like 30 seconds of offense in, and then Gunther just for the next 7 minutes, 8 minutes, just slowly and methodically beats the shit out of McAfee, mocking Cole. Right? I liked the Cole spot, right? Here's what I didn't like of this whole match. What I didn't like was that it made Gunther look stupid. It made Gunther look weak, right? And someone may bring up the point or the argument that, well, Bad Bunny was able to look strong against Damian Priest. But I think there's a little bit of a difference in circumstance. But also, there's a difference in how the Bad Bunny faced a Damian Priest that wasn't up to that point booked to be a monster who was unbeatable. Gunther, for the most part, has been booked as this monster whom his only losses on the main roster are Sami Zayn and Jey Uso, who he took lightly. So I can see why Pat would get offense. But if Pat's not going to win, having him get as much offense as he was, it adds nothing to it, right? Gunther's this giant, this mega force. 80% of his WWE run, he's a champion, right? So he's a beast. And Pat McAfee is a nobody when it comes to being in the ring. And you essentially put a fan in the ring. And so what this does is it makes Gunther look weak, but it also says, well, Pat McAfee can go with the best of them. This used to be a world champion. So you're saying Pat McAfee is, like, there was a point where he was like hulking up out of a choke, and it was stupid. And at the end of the day, you took a spot off of someone on who could you have put in a feud against Gunther, right? That, you know, or what other match could you have put on the card? You didn't necessarily need a Gunther card. You could have kept Gunther suspended. You could have put on a match. You could, instead of putting EO and Rhea versus Julia and Roxanne on a Monday night on a Raw, you could have put that on the PLE. And I think that would have been a better match, 100%, than what we got here. And so I just, this was the one down spot of this entire card. It wasn't bad. The match itself was, there's going to be some people who hate the pacing. There's going to be some people who complain or critique Michael Cole getting involved in it. I think all of that was fine. What I don't like is that Pat McAfee got so much offense in. That's the only thing I don't like. Right, I would have had Cole get in the ring because Pat's laying in a puddle of his blood as he's being beaten senseless by Gunther, and Michael Cole gets in the way, right? And then we have the whole setup of Cole getting grabbed by Gunther, and then McAfee maybe trying to you know stand up for Pat or Pat standing up for Cole, you know, maybe hits Gunther, you know, in the back. And then which turns Gunther to, you know, or something where maybe Michael Cole was forced to watch Pat suffer, sort of like how they ended everything. I'm not against a lot of what happened in the match. The match was not 100% like bitch worthy. Like, I'm not going to bitch about the match itself. It's just how much offense Pat McAfee got. Like, Pat McAfee should have gotten like a 30-second run of offense at the very beginning of this match. And then the rest of the match should have been 7-8 minutes straight of just Gunther torturing the man. And then eventually choking him out. Yeah. I just, that my one negative, like, it's not like rant worthy where I cuss off, you know, like I did with Cena and Cody at Mania, right? I don't think it's that bad, personally. I don't think it brings the show down all that much. I think it was completely worthless. It's not worth the price of admission for that match. I think it was a waste of time. I think anything else would have been better suited there. But I don't think it hurts the card the way some people may say it hurts the card. Just going to be completely honest with you. I know I said I was going to crash out. I'm more disappointed in Triple H, again, just continuously not allowing babyfaces to look weak, right? You all, like, he did this with Sami Zayn in the Gunther feud at first, or Sami Zayn with the Braun Breaker feud when Sami Zayn won the title last year. Like, he faced Braun Breaker at Money in the Bank, and Sami couldn't get squashed, right? Triple H has this issue with squash matches, it feels like, right? His babyfaces can't look weak. And that's where I have a problem, right? Pat should have looked weak as shit because Pat's nowhere near the level of competition Gunther is. But Gunther carried the match. It was a great match. Just like I said it was, Gunther doesn't have bad matches. The match itself wasn't bad. It was more so, my complaint is Pat McAfee got too much offense in. That it made Gunther look funny, but it also made Pat feel too legitimate. Like, there's a realistic chance, like, realistically, I feel like Pat McAfee could go up against Jey Uso and win the championship because he stood toe-to-toe with Gunther and hulked up and took a lot of his offense, right? This should have been a slow, methodical torturing of Pat McAfee, a punishment for him even thinking about being in this match. And so that's where my – and the only other thing is there's like a show of respect with Gunther to Pat. I would have had Gunther win. No show of respect. I would have had Gunther sort of look at McAfee, and I would have just continually beat the living shit out of him. Like, Pat McAfee should have, and I said this, it should have been Pat McAfee leaving that arena in the back of an ambulance. It's sort of how this should have gone, right? If you want me to feel like Goldberg is necessary to beat Gunther, Pat McAfee had to leave in the back of an ambulance, and we didn't get that. And so while the match itself was decent, I think some of the booking decisions and making Pat look stronger than he should have been booked is where my irritation comes. And then the last match, this main event, and this is a main event. This is what WrestleMania should have been and what WrestleMania, I believe, would have been had the Travis Scott Rock story not been involved in this, right? If you would have had just a normal heel Cena, right? If you would have booked this where the heel turn took place at WrestleMania, no Rock, no Travis Scott, where Cena wins Chamber and tells Cody he's going to do whatever it takes to get 17 because this is the last chance he could have at getting it, and he turns heel at Mania, this would have been the level of response you would have gotten from that match. But you put Travis Scott and you put that craziness of a story involved in it, right? And so this almost made up for how bad that was, right? This, I saw the post, and I don't know, I'd have to let this process for a minute before I overreact to this, but I saw the post that said, the last time may have been the best time, talking about Cena versus Orton. And we've got a lot of bangers out of this feud. This was a good one. I don't know if it was the best, but it was a good one. I've continually said since Mania, heel Cena without the Rock story will be gold. It's perfect, right? He's scheduled to be at Saturday night's main event. I don't think it's a match. I think it's a promo, which will set up his Money in the Bank match. But yeah, I 100% loved everything we got in this match. The ref bumps, you know, the match was a little bit, you know, cheesy at times. The first ref bump didn't really make much sense, but then you get the second one on the outside of the ring. The timing of the ref of the second ref coming out, waiting like 5 minutes, and then some of the logic gaps within just a corporate structure doesn't make a lot of sense, right? So Chad Patton is your senior official. He's like the head referee, and he gets treated worse than some nobody, Eddie Arango, who Eddie Arango gets put out, and all of the officials backstage come out. Nick Aldis, Hurricane, Jamie Noble, Daivari, all of them come out to take care of some low-level, you know, referee. But your senior official, Chad Patton's laying dead on the side of the ring, and no one cares, right? And so I think just that logic gap for someone like me, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But it's nothing like too serious to really complain about. It's just something I'll mention. But this match went exactly the way I think it should have gone. And when you, it just shows you that heel Cena is going to be great. It just doesn't need whatever The Rock thinks is this grand story The Rock thinks he can book. Right? So those are my initial thoughts on Backlash. Like I said, I'll give this an 8 out of 10. Very easily could have been a 9 or a 10 out of 10 PLE from a storytelling perspective. But I even think the matches were pretty decent, right? None of them were like match of the year candidate. But I liked a lot of what I saw. I was entertained with a lot of it. I didn't find myself wanting to be like on Twitter at all during this PLE outside of Gunther and Pat. But I thoroughly enjoyed this show. So these are my initial thoughts, not a rant episode like many of you might think would happen. On Tuesday, I'll more so facilitate the conversation with Wavy D and our special guest. But until then, y'all, hope you enjoy the rest of your week. And if you're a mom out there, happy Mother's Day on Sunday. And until then, I will see you all on Tuesday.
So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, slapping meat and wrestling every Tuesday.